Thank you. Down Vision Path, Sorry, Personal Brahma Jyoti or localized paramatma realization is not perfect knowledge of the absolute truth because it is partial. Full and scientific knowledge of Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is ultimate knowledge beyond any doubts. Different types of yoga are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entities, material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in nine different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, touch Chinu or hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna, and therefore by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna-conscious person. One has to therefore to learn from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna and not from a non-devotee upstart puffed up with academic education. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyam Taksto Yidya Vrajani Yuduno Di Saritsitam Nashta Praesh Vavadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavaduktu Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtiki Kedar Desmo Bhava Kamalovale Aschaye Chaita Eterna Vidam Sitam Sadve Prasidati Evam Prasanamanaso Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha Bhagavatatva Vijnanam Mukta Sangas Vijayate Vidyate Ridya Grantis Chidyante Sarvasam Shaya Shiyante Chasti Karmani Drishta Eva Anishvare. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures, to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita, is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as the best wishing friend, and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee actually develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By the development of devotional service, one becomes free from the modes of passion, ignorance, and thus material lusts and avarice should diminish. When these impurities are wiped away, can he remain steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. Thus bhakti yoga severs the heart out of material affections, enables one to come at once to the stage of the samshayam, samagram, understanding of the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam 1:2:17-21. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from his devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. So again, the verse, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Maya Satkamara Parta, Yogam Yunjan Marashkaya, Asamsham Samagramam Yatag Yasasi Tatshino. Supreme Personality of God had said, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Mam Vishnu Praya Krishna Pristayapute, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Prasarane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastavyade Siddhartha. Thank you all for coming. This is an important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It's the beginning of the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita can be divided into three different sections. And the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, as Prabhupada explains here, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul, capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. In other words, presently, we're in the material conception of life. Namely, we misidentify ourselves with this body, and we believe that under certain circumstances, I'll be able to be happy, and under other circumstances, I won't be happy. Therefore, material life generally means try to make arrangements so that we can become happy, and make other arrangements so that we don't become unhappy. The first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita give us another type of activity, namely activities which liberate us from the bodily concept of lust. From the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained there's a difference between ourselves and our material body, or our subtle material mind, or our conception of life, or even our own personality that we strongly identify ourselves with now. That we are the observer and not exactly the only doer of the activities that we're observing. But in order to realize that, we have to become more conscious. And in order to become conscious, there are different types of yogas that are recommended. For instance, in the material world, our minds are constantly an anxiety about the future and lamenting about the past. Krishna summarizes it, we wanted to become happy in the past and we couldn't do it. Therefore, we feel frustrated about our past activities. And we hope that in the future, things will be different. I'll get a better opportunity. So we're anxious that we'll have a better future, and we're sorry about our past wasn't as good as we wanted it to be. So in such a state of anxiety, this anxiety is what covers over our consciousness and doesn't allow us to see ourselves as we actually are. If you have a clear lake and the water is not stirred up, then it's very easy to see to the bottom of the lake, and you can see some gold coin at the bottom of the lake. But if the water is all stirred up, then it's very difficult to see what's on the bottom of the lake. Similarly, when our minds are agitated, we cannot see things very clearly. Even Krishna says, when our minds become agitated, then our intelligence is taken away. And he uses the example, Indriyanam Hicharitam Yamano Nuvidiyate Karasya Harati Pragya Bayor Navami Bambasi. Just like a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. In other words, if we identify ourselves with our material circumstances and become involved in the hankering lamentations surrounding material life, then our actual awareness of ourselves becomes diminished. Therefore, beginning of yoga is said to be karma yoga, as Krishna has explained. Instead of utilizing our material resources in order to avoid unpleasant circumstances and try to get pleasant circumstances, to act dutifully and perform sacrifice. Sacrifice of the controllers of the universe, sacrifice of the Supreme Person, some kind of sacrifice so that we don't become misidentified ourselves with either the proprietors of this material world or the potential enjoyers or sufferers of material energy. To work dutifully without concern what the future will be and being lamenting over the past. So of course, Krishna says that dutiful behavior has to come from somewhere, and he says ultimately comes from the scriptures, what everyone is supposed to be doing. That it is not that we've taken birth here in the material world and everyone's free to do whatever they want, or modern society, the idea is you're free to somehow or another get money. And if you get money, then you gratify your senses as you like without any restriction. The only restriction is how much money you can get. Or, if you get old and die, that's also a restriction. But anyhow, besides that, there's hardly any idea of restriction in the modern society. Just somehow or another, get money, even if it's illegal, at least don't get caught. and then gratify your senses, especially on the weekend. That's the holy days. Or are you supposed to have a marathon? Spend all the money you made, worked hard for, and gratify your senses in any way that you can conceive of or other people conceive of you. So that kind of activity, of course, leads to simply more material misery and more material hankering and more material lamentation. Therefore, to find out how we're supposed to utilize the senses so that our mind becomes steady and peaceful. So karma yoga entails a little bit of detachment, a little bit of understanding that we're ultimately not here to free to do whatever we like. We have to do as the higher authorities, gurus, sadhana, shastra tell us, and then we won't become caught up with this mentality of being independent and acting whimsically according to our senses and mind, how they dictate. Then if one becomes a little peaceful, then one can hear some knowledge. If the mind is agitated, it's very hard to hear anything. We hear, but we don't really hear. We hear, but it doesn't make very much sense. We hear, but we only hear partly. We don't hear how we can practice, why these things in our life, nor does it seem very relevant to our life. But if one performs sacrifice, then the mind becomes a little peaceful, then we realize, yes, that's one of the objectives of life, is to have a peaceful mind. When people's minds are peaceful nowadays, they go on the internet to see something that would agitate their minds. People don't think the goal of life is to have a peaceful mind. They think it's to have a stimulated mind, to have a stimulated senses. Although there's no end to the stimulation or the agitation, somehow or another they become convinced that peaceful mind is not very good. You have to have a productive mind. But one who can actually experience peaceful mind, then one is able to hear. Just a peaceful mind by itself, someone will come along to agitate it. Therefore, when we have a peaceful mind, then we should utilize it to hear what is reality and how to enter into reality. Because a peaceful mind is the beginning, but actually we want something more than just peace, we want positive happiness. So to learn the path of happiness, first we have to be able to hear from the right source with the right attitude. Then we can learn how to see things properly. Now, according to Bhagavad Gita, we look at the material world and we look at it, how can I exploit it to gratify my senses or my ego? But when we learn that actually this is illegal, that I should utilize this world for some other purpose, namely to realize my eternal nature and my eternal relationship with the Supreme Eternal Person, Krishna. So hearing about that, then we learn how to see things in a spiritual perspective, then naturally we learn how to act in a spiritual perspective. And the result is, Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, that I give you more and more intelligence by which you become conscious of me. Becoming conscious of Krishna, gradually one realizes that Krishna is the actual objective that I've been looking for. He is the pleasure that I'm looking for. He's the loving relationship I've been searching for, and to know Krishna means to become aware of that. By the indirect process, as described here in the beginning of the seventh chapter, the yogis, when they're peaceful, when they're dutiful, when they're learned, when they're acquired certain qualities like fearlessness and purification of one's existence, when they have spiritual knowledge, then they can go into the forest and meditate on the super soul in their hearts. But neither is practical in this age to act according to our duty, because no one knows what their duty is. People think they're only, somehow or another, everyone's just struggling to get some money to maintain themselves. Even when we're not interested in sense gratification, still life is a bitter struggle just to be able to maintain oneself, if not one's family also. And what to speak of having the time to study the Vedic literature, learn the Sanskrit language, learn how to pronounce the syllables, learn how to memorize backwards and forward the Vedic mantras, and by the time we're able to do that, it'll be the end of Kali Yuga anyhow. Or at least it'll be the end of the 10,000 years of Golden Age, and we'll be stuck with the rest of Kali Yuga practice, reciting Vedas to some pygmies who are running out, trying to eat us. So that's not recommended. Nor can we go into the forest and meditate. We don't have stable, peaceful minds, nor even bodies that can sit in one place for any length of time with head and neck erect and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. And even if we do that, we'll be sitting in the forest and people will be having a barbecue next to us or shooting the rabbits around us. Therefore, it'll be very difficult to concentrate on Paramatma within our heart. Krishna therefore recommends here, and just to listen to what he has to say. Krishna has already told us something which is very amazing, the fact that our bodies, all our bodies, are always changing. But we ourselves, the observer of these bodies, we're not changing. So that in itself is quite encouraging. If someone told you you're going to die, you feel very discouraged. You have 15 minutes left to live. Or if someone said you had 2 days left to live. Or if someone said you had a year left to live. Or 10 years left to live. Even if someone told you 100 years left to live. You feel discouraged. Therefore, generally, we try and forget these things. We don't talk about these things. But if someone tells you you're eternal, that's quite encouraging. Even Lord Brahma, who lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years, it is said that his duration of life is just like a flash of lightning in the cosmic creation. That compared to Mahavishnu, whose breath, exhalation is life of Lord Brahma, and his inhalation is the annihilation of the cosmic creation, or the cosmic creation. Therefore, 1 hour in Mahavishnu's life, quite a number of Brahmas are born and die. What to speak of our 100 years if we live that long? People are so proud if they have their 100th birthday. It's like a marvelous thing. But it is so insignificant in cosmic time that it's not even worth even recording. Although people make a busy time recording so-called history. Printing up newspapers and then using them for the dog the next day for his bathroom. So much for history. In any case, the fact is that we're eternal, and therefore Krishna has explained that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita and has given us the step-by-step process of realizing it. And now he's given us a very simple process of realizing it, just to listen to him. And what is he asking us to do? How to practice yoga in full consciousness of him, so that our mind becomes attached to him and we can know him in full. Although we cannot execute so easily karma yoga, jnana yoga, or bhakti yoga, or astanga yoga, still, within the process of bhakti yoga, all the different yogas are also included. In the sense that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we can also try to forget about everything else and just chant and hear the holy name without anxiety about what the future will be, what the past has been. Because our material future, everyone knows, we only are going to be here for a certain age now. In the future is everyone's going to get diseased, they're going to grow old, and then they're going to die. And it doesn't matter what we do, these are the inevitable processes in the general nature. We can do our daily yoga exercises, take our vitamin pills, visit the dentist twice a year, but still this body is going to grow old and die. So we don't have to worry about it, because if we chant Hare Krishna and realize our real selves, then we won't become bewildered by the changing body. We won't become either enamored or lament, or we won't lament over it. Instead, we'll realize that this is a great opportunity, having a human form of life, because step by step, by chanting Hare Krishna and engaging the process of devotional service, especially hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshipping the deities, serving the devotees, making the atmosphere spiritual by living in a holy place, or preaching the message of the Bhagavad Gita and message of Lord Chaitanya. By doing those things, then we can make progress day by day back to our eternal life. Therefore it says, both by the rising and the setting of the sun, everyone's duration is lost of life, except for the person who utilizes this time to hearing about the all-good personality of God. So although people may think it's just an ordinary activity, these Hare Krishnas are wasting their time hearing about some imaginary God. They could be spending it more productively by going to the beach and getting a tan. Although people may think like that, they don't realize the great potency, the great opportunity in hearing and chanting about Krishna and serving Krishna in such a way is that we're able to focus our minds more attentively and more submissively on the holy names and understand more clearly Krishna. And that's why we gradually revive our eternal relationship with Krishna and gradually become free from all material distress caused by our misunderstanding of identifying ourselves with this body and mind. Gradually our false conceptions of life go away and we're able to realize our actual identity, which is always enthusiastic, always bright, always fresh, always enlivened and enlightened. That's the nature that we like to be, and that's who we actually are by nature. So Krishna will explain in this chapter how we can hear from him, how we can practice yoga, how we can become aware of him, and ultimately all our doubts about Krishna and our spiritual identity will go away. And then we can become situated in a happy, peaceful, enlightened platform of Krishna consciousness. So, I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes?
I was taught by Sri Chimura that I should never expect. I do not understand the philosophy behind that, so I'm asking a question. How to have a positive attitude and not to expect?
How to have a positive attitude? Well, we have to have a real attitude. We have to understand what's reality. When we understand what's reality, then we'll become, and we engage ourselves in the service of what's real, then we should expect, at least, what Krishna explains, that we'll become enlightened and enlivened in our actual identity. So at least according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, we should expect if we follow the path, then we'll get to the end of the path, the goal of the path. Because otherwise Krishna wouldn't say, listen to me, do this activity, and the result will be this. So we should expect the result.
Many fell from the path.
What's that?
Many fell from the path. Many fell from the path.
Many, Krishna says, have obtained the result also, so they keep on practicing. We're all fallen in our present state, but that doesn't mean that we can't become elevated by following Krishna's instructions. Anything else?
Thank you.
Yes. On the other hand, if we preach to them Krishna consciousness, they'll become like we are. Anything else? Yes.
Yeah. Prashant, the first question is, you mentioned concentration on Paramatma. How this can be done? Have a little challenge.
What is self-realization?
What is self-realization?
How to apply self-realization?
What is self-realization?
Self-realization means, ultimately self-realization means to understand one's relation with Krishna. Our real self is eternally related to Krishna. The other process